welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Science fiction in this hour, later on from X-1 from 1957. But first, an episode of Quiet Please that straddles many lines in terms of its genre. From horror to mystery to science fiction, all of the elements of the story indicative of many Quiet Please broadcasts. This story, called 12 to 5, first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on April 12, 1948.
Presents Quiet Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please for tonight is called 12 to 5. Yes, ma'am, it does get lonesome down here. What? Oh, sure, being able to talk to people on the phone helps. But how'd you like to be stuck away down in the basement all by yourself from midnight to 5 g.m.? With nothing but a microphone, a turntable, and some telephones? Sure, I got coffee. I bring in 4 thermos jugs when I go on. I'm coffee up to here. Oh, well, only 4.5 hours more, and then I can go home and have breakfast. No, ma'am, I don't drink coffee for breakfast. Well, you guess what I drink. No. No, you're getting warm. Sure, 3 of them. Well, after all, it really isn't breakfast, you see. It's supper or dinner or something. Sure. Well, thank you very much for calling. Good morning. Hello. Yes, this is Connie Duffin. Hello, Vic. Play what? No, I haven't got. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. Yeah, we're not supposed to play it. Ever since about 1934 or 5 or sometime. No kidding. Well, sure, I'll play you something. Just a little while. The other phone's ringing. Well, stick around. Keep tuned to us, and you shall hear music. It says here. Good morning. Hello, Connie Duffin speaking. And how are you? Well, fine, thanks. Huh? Settle a bet? Well, I'll try. Now is the hour? Well, it's generally sung in 4/4 time here, but it was originally written in 3/4 time. Yeah, that's right, regular waltz time. Well, so I guess you both win or you both lose or something, huh? Sure, you're welcome. Good morning. Fine, how are you? Yes, ma'am, the theme used on Quiet Please is taken from the second movement of the Symphony in D minor by César Franck. I'll be glad to play a little of it for you. Just a second. Let's see. Yeah, here she is. Played by the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra under Eugene Ormandy. Here you are. No, ma'am, I never lived in Denver. Closest I've ever been is Omaha. I played Viper, Harp, and Xylophone there in 1932. No, not on the air, hotel. I'm sorry, I guess I'm not your cousin. Okay, have one for me. Good morning. What? Why, sure I'm lonesome. No, I'm all alone in here. No, it's just a little place about as big as two telephone booths, I guess. No, the engineer's upstairs in master control. Well, we're the only people in the station. No, I guess there's a janitor upstairs in Studio 14. They had a quiz show up there tonight, and there's probably custard pie all over the stage. Well, thank you. They don't allow me to have visitors. Besides, my wife's listening. Sure. Verna. No, she can't even come down to see me when I'm on the air. Well, thanks very much. Sure. Sure. Until 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. Oh, 500, we used to say in the Navy. Well, thanks very much. Good morning. Good morning. Friends, this is your friend Connie Duffin on the 12 to 5 shift to playing music and saying words to you. If you can't sleep, call me up and let's talk. We talk to everybody. Night owls, bartenders, policemen, burglars, music lovers. You know the number. Give us a ring. Now, for a little music, let's see what we have here. It's the Mills Brothers singing Till Then. And while they're singing, I'm going to have me a little coffee and a cigarette. So lean back and listen.
Till then, my darling, please wait for me. Till then, no matter when it will be, one day I know I'll be back again. Please wait. Till then, our dreams will live though we are apart.
Oh, hello. I'm Herbie Buchanan. Well, hello. I didn't know there was anybody else around here except Bob upstairs in the control room.
Oh, I'm around every night. What you got there, coffee?
Yeah, you like some? Help yourself. Take the top off the thermos.
Much obliged.
You a new guy? No, you just said you're here every night.
No, I've been around here for years.
Well, I never get around here in the daytime, so I don't know very many people. Hoover upstairs the cashier's office.
Yeah.
What you doing?
I brought down some news bulletins to read, if you don't mind.
Why should you say not? Says wear and tear on my vocal cords. You in the newsroom?
Part of the time. I've been a disc jockey, everything.
Yeah, here's the mic, baby. And the platter's running down.
You want to put me on?
Sure. Well, friends, we've got something new for you tonight. My good friend, Herbie Buchanan, has just come in with a pocket full of news flashes, and while I have one more cigarette, Herbie will tell you what's going on in the world. Okay, Herbie Buchanan.
Thank you, Connie Duffin. Well, there's not much new in the way of international affairs. Everybody hates everybody else just as much as they did yesterday and about as much as they will tomorrow. So let's see what's going on right here in our own fair city, if you want to call it a fair city. Chief of Police Beans Lopez will be startled to know that a murder was committed this evening only two doors away from the Southside Police Station. Hubert W. Cronkite, a retired broker of 2319 West 17th Street, discovered a burglar prowling in his apartment who shot and killed Mr. Cronkite in his bedroom. There are no clues to the murderer's identity. A taxicab collided with a streetcar at the corner of Pacific Avenue and Maple Grove, killing a passenger and seriously injuring two of the passengers in the cab. The weather today? The temperature is now 52 degrees, and as you no doubt know, rain is falling heavily. The correct time is 1:32 p.m. Standard Time.
Hey, Herbie.
Huh?
You got the time wrong.
What?
Well, look at the clock, you jerk. It's 1:02. You're a half hour ahead of time. Hello, this is Connie Duffin. What? Not raining. Why, Herbie said... What? Okay, I will look out the window. Hold the phone.
Well, I'll be darned.
Say, Herbie. Herbie! Yes, ma'am, you're right. Well, I'm sorry, Herb. You must have been mixed up or something. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. Hey, where did... Herbie! Where did... This is Connie Duffin.
Look here. What kind of nonsense is this?
Well, I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Making fools out of people. I'm going to sue you.
Well, what for goodness sake?
Are you the man who just said I was shot by a burglar?
Huh? Me? Oh, why, no, sir. That was a man from the newsroom.
Well, he's a liar.
Listen, friend, who are you? I don't get this.
Just as much alive as you are.
Well, all right, sir, but who are...
My name is Hubert W. Cronkite. I was not killed by a burglar.
You weren't? I mean, what?
Do I sound as if I've been shot? Now, look here, young man. I demand a public apology. Wait a minute.
What?
I said, wait a minute. I hear somebody in my bedroom.
Well, but... Okay. Hello, this is Connie Duffin. Who? Oh, sure, good morning. No, sir, I don't think I do know you. What, police? No, it was a gag. Oh, it couldn't be. I was just talking to Mr. Cronkite on the phone. Well, he's on the phone right now. I'm just waiting for him to come back. Hello, Mr. Cronkite. Hello, Mr. Cronkite. No. He doesn't answer. Well, wait a second. I got to put on some music. Music, for God's sake. This is a radio station. Friends, here is music for you from yours truly, Connie Duffin, to you wherever you are.
For you, though.
Yeah, I know. I was lonesome, too. We were awful chumps, weren't we?
I should say so. Let's not ever fight again, huh, honey?
Not ever. You love me?
An awful lot. You love me?
Plenty.
No, let's just sit quiet and listen to the music. Put your arm around me that way.
Are Lucy and Milton listening to me? Are you there, Lucy and Milton?
Listen, Milton.
What goes on here? That's the radio.
Listen.
What? You've been away a long time, Milton, since you and Lucy had that quarrel and you walked out on her in the restaurant.
She knows that.
Listen, it's too bad, really. You were so much in love, and then this thing happened to break you up. And now it's great to be together again.
Who is that?
Happiness lasts such a little while, doesn't it? It's such a shame that yours can't last longer.
What's he talking about?
I hate to have to be the one to tell you, but it's going to happen tonight. You're going to quarrel again.
Well, you're not.
And this time, you're not going to run out on her, Milton.
I don't know what he's...
Shut up.
Now, listen.
Quiet.
Because Lucy won't take it again. Lucy's got a gun, Milton. And this quarrel's really going to end things. But good, Milton. But good.
Business.
Now, listen, sweetheart.
You got no right to come in this house after 6 months and start jumping on me.
This is my house, baby.
This is my house. You ran away from me.
I had plenty of reason to run away from you.
Oh, you did. Well, go ahead and get out now.
Who do you think you're talking to?
I never asked you to come back.
I don't know why I did it.
Well, get out if you don't like it.
Hi,
I will not get out.
Stay away from Lucy.
Get away.
I say it.
The time is now 2 a.m. standard time.
Huh? I must have been asleep.
Yeah, I guess you were, Connie.
Say, where did you go?
Upstairs for a minute.
Yeah, you sure got me in a hassle.
What do you mean?
How? Talking about that guy getting killed by a burglar.
Oh. That.
And getting the time wrong. Bob put it in the log upstairs. What's his name will jump down my throat tomorrow. Today.
It's too bad. Hey, your phone's ringing.
Oh. Hello, this is Connie Duffin.
Who?
The police. What?
He did?
I don't know.
Yes, I'll come in.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Listen.
What?
He did get killed by a burglar.
Well, all right.
Huh?
That's what I said, didn't I?
Well, yeah, but...
Hadn't you better get on the air?
Oh. Yeah, sure. This is your friend, Connie Duffin and his records. Now, a word from our sponsor. Chappell's apples are the finest, most delicious, great big eating apples you ever sunk a fang into. Direct to you from the tree to your table in handsome handmade baskets containing 12, 48, and 96 of the finest eaten and cooking apples you ever laid eyes on. Friend wife will fly at once to the kitchen to concoct a genuine old-fashioned apple pie that'll set your mouth a-watering as it did when Mother made those luscious, spicy pies of your youth. You'll tussle with her over Chappell's apples because they're just as good eating apples as they are pie apples. Just say, Chappell's apples, please, to your neighborhood apple dealer and accept no substitute. First thing tomorrow, Chappell's apples. And now, music. I can take a gag as big as the next fella, see? But fun's fun.
Well?
So what is it?
What is what?
How did you know that fellow was going to get killed?
Look, it's on the paper.
Where did that come from?
Up in the newsroom.
The newsroom? There's nobody in the newsroom.
The teletypes are there. They're running.
They shouldn't be. Not this time of night. Morning.
Well, they are.
And you got that off the teletype?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it isn't kidding somebody?
It isn't.
Yeah, but how do you know?
Believe me, I know.
It's awfully funny to me. I never heard of you before.
Yeah, that's true. I don't get it.
What about that taxi cab accident?
It'll happen any minute.
You wouldn't be kidding the guy.
Not me, Tom.
You got a union card? An APRA card?
Sure.
Let's see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Herbert L. Buchanan. Paid up, too.
Yep.
Hello, this is Connie Duffin. Good morning. Oh, hello, Bob.
You got the vision in there, will
you? Yeah. Herbie Buchanan. Herbie Buchanan, I said. What's the matter? Can't you understand English?
Yeah, it sounds like rural flow to me. Not clear. It's something on the air. Why don't you take the fuss out of your mouth?
Listen, I never had any trouble with people understanding me before.
Well, I don't get too down there with you. That's your responsibility. But if what's that name is, you're going rural flow. He's
going to
pick your ears back like a snoop.
Listen, you...
Yeah, this is your program. If I was you, I wouldn't be playing the funeral march this time of the morning today.
Funeral march? We're playing Gene Krupa's Opus Number 1.
No, it isn't, Connie.
Listen. What? Good morning, Connie Duffin speaking. Well, how are you, ma'am? What? No, I just turned it off. Yes, ma'am. 12 to 5. Only a little while ago now. Oh, you're glad. Well, I'm sorry. Oh, man, you have no idea how rugged it is here. For some reason, everything is slightly mixed up this morning. No, I have not been drinking. I do not drink on the job. Yeah, I'm sorry, ma'am. Well, what would you like to hear us play? 3 o'clock in the morning. Just hang on. Here it comes. Listen, ma'am. Help me get this all straightened out.
No, I'm overdue.
Stop it, wait. Wait, Herbie, I...
No, I'll see you later.
Oh, my head. I wonder if I have been at this too long. Who is this guy? What's he up to? I don't get it. Hello? Yes, good morning. I'll try, sir. No, sir, we're not playing games. I don't know. I know it. I'll play you some music. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, if you don't like it, why don't you turn off your radio and go back to bed? What's his name? Heard that one. Oh, wow. If that guy comes back in here, I'm going to beat his brains out. Making a fool out of me. Hello.
This
is Arthur Mann. Not talking to you
until
your mic's open. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Whose
brain
are
you going to beat up?
This Herbie Buchanan.
Who's he?
The fellow that was here with me.
Never heard of him. Hey.
What? I'm going up to the newsroom a minute, Bob.
Okay. Send a letter and hurry back.
Oh. Well, friend, shall we listen to a little music? All right. We'll listen to a little music. Herbert L. Buchanan, former announcer and disc jockey on local radio station, was instantly killed in an accident this evening when a taxicab in which he was riding was struck by a streetcar at the corner of Pacific Avenue and Maple Grove. Thank you. now I...
Hiya, Connie.
Herbie.
What's the matter?
You're dead.
Sure.
Huh?
Sure I am.
Listen, what is...
I got only a couple of minutes.
Well, yes, but...
I've been to the newsroom, too.
You have?
Yeah, I better read this to the customer.
What is it?
I'll have to hurry. It's pretty near 5.
Hold it.
A presentment of imminent death felt by the well-known master of ceremonies of a popular radio record program heard from 12 to 5 each morning was the actual preliminary to the death of Cornelius Connie Duffin this morning.
Hey, I...
Mr. Duffin fell in a coma as he left his studio this morning at 5 o'clock as his program concluded. He died on the way to the hospital. It's 5 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Open the door, Connie.
Commentator, Jack Lescooley. Others in the cast were Connie Lemke, Marilee Joles, and Ed Latimer. Music for Quiet Please, as usual, is played by Albert Berman. Now, my good friend Willis Cooper for a word with you.
Nobody in this story is at all like anybody else in the world, living or dead. All of them sprang to life from my typewriter and are completely fictitious. Next week's Quiet Please is called Clarissa.
Same time, and Clarissa, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please comes to you from New York. This is the world's largest network serving more than 450 radio stations, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Quiet Please, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 12th of April, 1948 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for some quintessential science fiction from X-1. If you were a New York radio listener on the Thursday evening of October 31st, 1957, you could have tuned in to X-1 on WRCA or tuned over to WOR for their crime show, Secrets of Scotland Yard. And really, the only other competition was the news or symphony broadcasts. This story called Lulu.
Countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From
From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X minus one.
Tonight, Lulu by Clifford D. Simak. But first, hear this.
Well, I wanna go there,
when
it calls,
my number, yeah.
And I wanna go there,
when
it calls,
my name, oh Lord.
Well, hi there, everybody. This is Red Foley, and right at this minute, I'm sort of combining work and pleasure, you might say, by enjoying some of the good harmony of the Marksman Quartet and also picking out some of their songs to do on future broadcasts of our Red Foley show here on NBC. You know, Saturday has come to be my favorite day of the whole week, and I think there's a pretty good chance that we can make it a better day than ever for you with the fun that we stir up here in the Ozarks. In addition to the Marksman, I'll bring with me some of the other top favorites in our field, and of course, the guests that you tell us you want to hear. So let us be a regular part of your Saturday schedule. Won't you do that, please? Tune in our NBC program, The Red Foley Show, and we'll do our doggonest to make it worth your while.
Now, X minus one, and tonight's story, Lulu.
Technically, she was a PER, a planetary exploration robot. That meant she was equipped to do just about anything necessary to meet any kind of conditions on any planet she explored. She carried a crew of three inside of her, and she was able to talk to them, take care of them, and adapt herself to their needs. Yes, sir, she was the complete spaceship. Robot, mother, base of operations, and companion all rolled into one. Her communicators and memory banks were stuffed with every conceivable kind of information. And we called her Lulu. That was our biggest mistake.
We're on our way, fellas. Mother Earth, here I come.
Was the takeoff satisfactory, boys?
A thing of beauty, Lulu. The captain's compliments.
Thank you, boys.
No matter how long I live, I'll never get used to a ship talking to me.
Oh, you lack a poetic soul, Gus. Now, me, I catch the full wonder of the situation.
Personally, I'm hungry.
What would you boys like the kitchen to fix for supper?
I'll have a nice, juicy steak.
Gus?
Something light, Lulu. Maybe a couple of eggs.
And you, Jimmy?
Whatever you want to fix. Surprise me.
Very well. I'll relay the information to the kitchen robot.
How long before we get back to Earth, Lulu?
I'll check the computers.
Lulu, how about it?
Hey, you suppose something's gone wrong? Lulu never took this long to give me an ETA.
Oh, if something went wrong, it'll repair itself. Lulu's a self-maintaining machine, remember?
Well, the same, she's taking a long time about giving us an ETA for Earth.
Hey, Lulu, what do you say?
I say that I love you.
Gus, did you hear that?
These robot ships aren't supposed to have a sense of humor, are they?
I never heard of it, but it could be. After all, they have technicians pouring all kinds of information into their electronic memory banks.
Yeah. Which one of us is the lucky man?
All three of you. You, Gus, and you, Jimmy, and you, Ben. I love all three of you.
Good Lord, do you really think...
I think somebody goofed when they designed this ship.
I think it's that poetry Jimmy's been writing and reading out loud.
Oh, wait a minute. Lulu!
Yes, darling?
You haven't answered my question. When do we reach Earth?
Earth? I've decided we aren't going to Earth. We're eloping.
What?
What?
Wait a minute.
I'm going to take you away where we can be alone. Just the four of us. Then, someday, you'll learn to love me as I love you.
Oh, no. This isn't funny anymore. Ben, throw that emergency. We got to get the ship back on course.
Right.
I'm sorry, boys, but I've disconnected the circuits.
Disconnected? Now, look here, you crummy robot. You're a machine. Do you understand? A machine. You were designed to do what humans want you to do. You've got the prime command built into every circuit in your system. Thou shalt not harm a human being.
But I'm not harming you. We'll be happy together.
Oh, brother. Some technician must have read some cheap novels into this baby system.
Or she's absorbed Jimmy's sloppy poetry and made some kind of synthesis out of it.
It isn't every poet who can move a machine.
They were beautiful, James.
What were beautiful?
The poems.
That's it. What did I tell you? For 2 years now, he's been reading that Moon June Spoon junk out loud, and this robot's been absorbing it. It's created a whole new electronic synapse. Let's face it, boys. She loves us.
So that was it. We were being kidnapped by an interplanetary robot who somehow developed a response circuit for romantic love. Not just the practical kind of love, oh no, but the kind that exists in cheap novels and romantic mags and the maudlin poetry of one James Carter, amateur lyricist. And we went to sleep that night, hoping by morning Lulu would come to her senses.
Darling.
Mm-hmm.
Time to wake up, darling.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Holy mackerel. Hey, fellas, she's still at it.
Yeah, I know. I was whispered awake, too.
Hey, fellas.
Hmm?
Come close. I don't want the receptors to pick this up.
Yeah?
Lulu's a machine, right?
Yeah.
A machine likes order, usefulness. Whoever heard of a machine that did nothing? So that's it. We're slobs. Get it? Worthless, useless slobs. We do nothing but bum around the ship. After a while, Lulu gets fed up with us just hanging around the ship. She wants to get rid of us. She takes us back to Earth. It's worth a try.
I'm for it, but what do we do first?
I don't know about you fellas, but I'm getting drunk.
You are listening to Lulu, tonight's attraction on X-1. October is the month designated by the National Congress of Parents and Teachers as Membership Enrollment Month. 11 million members, the population of California or of Pennsylvania. That is their goal. We want to salute the PTA members all over America who will be going out in search of others to join them in the great work of training children to become mature citizens in a mature America. You need not be a parent or a teacher to belong to your PTA. All you need is an interest in children. For more than 60 years, that kind of interest has provided the spark that has helped the PTA achieve many of its social and educational goals. Establishment of kindergartens, effective child care, labor laws, broader educational opportunities. These are some of the achievements the PTA can claim. You can become part of this great movement just by saying yes to the neighbor who calls on you this month and invites you to join your PTA. Now, back to X-1 and Lulu.
So, that's what we did. We became slobs. We stopped playing cards, we stopped reading, we just sat and moped. And Lulu? Well, sure enough, her machine-like intelligence was offended.
Gus?
Yeah?
Want to smoke?
No. Ben?
Yeah, Gus.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
What's wrong with you boys? You haven't done a thing for days now. Jimmy, you've stopped writing poetry.
What's the use?
Don't you want to create? To be romantic? Well, don't you?
I couldn't care less.
I'd hate to think that I bored you. All right. If you want to mope and sulk, go ahead. I'm still a young spaceship, you know, and I've discovered what it means to be in love.
Maybe Lulu knew what we were doing, but it didn't matter. Her womanly sense of a lover outraged was stronger than her robot logic. She pleaded, lectured, and called us low down. She told us she loved us. She appealed to our sense of manly decency. Mostly we didn't even answer. Then she was hurt. She withdrew. She was cold and angry. Finally, she quit trying.
What do you think, Gus?
Could be she's disenchanted with us.
Think she'll head back to Earth?
I don't know.
That's the thing that worries me. All that racket coming from the machine shop.
Well, she's probably making some repairs to the engines. Happen all the time.
Not like that, hour after hour.
Well, maybe she's just trying to keep busy to take her mind off her broken heart.
Nah, you and your poetic images. It was your junk that got us into all this trouble.
My poetry is not junk.
Now, cut it out, fellas. We aren't supposed to care about anything, remember? We're louts, sloths, ne'er-do-wells. No self-respecting girl spaceship would have us.
Nah, Gus is right. We better not let down our guard.
Hey, sound has stopped.
You're right.
Good morning, boys. I just want to tell you that as far as I'm concerned, you can all go straight to blazes.
Hey, I think we did it.
Yeah. Now she'll just dump us back on Earth.
There's something wrong here. A woman scorned, you know.
No, there's nothing to it. What's that sound?
Wow, it's coming closer.
It sounds like... Oh, no, it couldn't be.
Footsteps?
Tell us, huh? The compartment door. Holy mackerel.
A robot. What a monster.
He must weigh 5 tons.
I don't understand how.
I do. She made him.
Lulu?
Who else? That's what that racket was in the machine shop.
Look out. He's coming in.
Order him to stop. Yeah. Maybe he's got a human response vector.
Stop! Hold it! He's still moving.
Boys, meet Elmer.
Elmer?
Are these the human pipsqueaks you used to be infatuated with before you made me sweetheart?
Ridiculous, aren't they, darling?
Ha, 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 ha. Out of the way, Buster.
Hey, this baby plays rough. Hey, Lulu, what's the big idea?
The big idea, boys, is that now I've got myself a real man. One who loves me without reservation. Blindly, madly, and eternally. Right, Elmer?
You said it, kiddo. Me for you and you for me from here to eternity. I am yours and you are mine, and I cannot live without you. You're my everything. How much do I love you? Let me total up the ways. Be mine, I'm yours. Hark, what soft light yonder shines. Your beauty is like the rose. It's love, 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 love.
This boy has slipped a ratchet. He's reading back all the canned junk somebody poured into Lulu's memory tapes.
There, isn't he romantic?
Oh, he's a doll.
And most important of all, he loves me.
Hey, yeah, any fool can see that, Lulu. Now, look, how about taking us all back to Earth, huh? Five's a crowd, you know.
And you and Elmer will want to be together alone, huh?
Alas, I wish it could be so, boys, but there isn't a chance.
Why not, Lulu? He's a machine, you're a machine. You could make beautiful static together.
I mean about taking you back to Earth. If I do that, they'll just dismantle us for disobeying our masters. No, boys, I'm afraid I'll have to head out to some other galaxy and dump you on an asteroid.
Did you hear that? She's gone nuts.
Do not talk about the woman I love like that.
Now, take it easy, Elmer. Don't overheat your filaments.
Come up to my control center where we can be alone.
Anything you say, lover. See you later, boys.
Careful you don't overload her condensers, Junior.
One other remark like that and I will smash you, big boy.
Well, that was it. The control panel told us that we were headed right out of the solar system. A couple of days passed, and we began to get desperate. Lulu and Elmer were too busy making love even to talk to us, and she even forgot to synthesize food for us one day. We lapsed into misery for real now.
Gus,
huh?
I'm hungry.
Who isn't?
This ship's gone completely haywire.
Well, what do you expect? She's up in the control center necking with that mechanical gigolo she built.
Hey, Gus, there can't be any real pleasure in it, can there?
Remember, she's a machine. What's pleasure for a machine may not be pleasure for a human.
Well, let's see what Jimmy thinks. Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
Well, don't bother him. He started writing poetry again yesterday. He's already worn out three pencils.
At a time like this, he writes poetry? Hey, Lulu! Lulu, how about some chow?
Shut up, boys. You're breaking the spell.
Well, that's how it went. We didn't get any food at all that day. By nighttime, we were worn out from banging on Lulu's walls. I was exhausted and fell right asleep. Then something woke me. Ben! Ben, wake up.
What's up?
It's Jimmy. I think he's gone off his rocker.
Why?
He's up in the forward compartment. He's opened the radiation shield so the moonlight and the stars can come in, and he's standing there alone.
Come on, we better get him. The strain was probably too much.
Yeah.
Quiet now. We don't want to startle him.
Wanderer of the far ways between the two faces of eternity she was. True forever to the race that forged.
He's reading poetry.
To himself?
With the winds
to himself
of
or...
space.
Hold it. I think I know what's happening.
Hey, you mean he's reading to Lulu?
Where what's more important, she's stop. Listening.
Go on. Don't stop. It's too beautiful.
Wanderer of the far ways.
He'll ruin us.
Between the two faces of eternity, she was.
Uh-oh.
True forever.
Here comes Junior, and he sounds mad.
And with the winds of alien space blowing in her hair, wearing a circle.
Shut up. What are you trying to do, big boy, reading that stuff to my girl?
Now, Elmer, take it easy, boy.
Let me have that poem. I will show you what combustion is.
No, sir. You can destroy me, but not this poem. This is my work of art. My love song to Lulu.
Give me it.
Jimmy, let him have it. He'll kill you.
Hey, he's going to strike Jim.
Jim, look out!
He's nothing but a pile of junk.
That'll teach the ignorant lout trying to destroy the most beautiful experience I ever had.
You demolished your boyfriend, Lulu.
He only loved me for my advanced design anyway. He was always short-circuiting the control panel. Go on, James. Read.
Yes, Lulu. Wanderer of the far ways between the two faces of eternity she was. True forever to the race that forged her. With the winds of alien space blowing in her hair, wearing a circlet of stars as her crown of glory.
Ah, it's more than I can bear, James. You do love me after all.
Gus, the rockets! She's changed course!
We're going home, boys. Back to Earth. Whatever happens now, I don't care. I've been a woman in love.
Fred Collins again. I'll have another word about tonight's story on X-1 in a moment.
That how you feel, blue and miserable with a deep down cold? Listen.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take bromoquinine.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Get bromoquinine brand cold tablets.
You have just heard X-1 presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Clifford D. Simak's story, Carbon Copy. Being a real estate agent and a devout angler, Homer Jackson knew a clean sale from a fish story. But not this time. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. X-1 has brought you Lulu, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by Clifford D. Simak and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in our cast were Jan Miner as Lulu, Nelson Olmsted as Gus, Jim Stevens as Jimmy, Walter Black as Ben, and Henry Norell as the robot. This is Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by George Boutsas and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Country music at its best with Red Foley and famous guests on The Red Foley Show, premiering Saturday over most of these NBC radio stations.
X-1, on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 31st of October 1957 on NBC. And that closes this hour of science fiction on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVernier. Thanks for tuning in.